What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. From KPFA Radio and the Pacifica Network, I'm your host, Kat Brooks.
This is Morningstar Galley with Law and Disorder. This morning, we are speaking with Marisa Elmore, a UCB graduate on interdisciplinary studies with a focus on international migration. Marisa has been with the East Bay Sanctuary for the past 3 years. Welcome, Marisa.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Please share with us the work that you are doing on behalf of East Bay Sanctuary and the history of East Bay Sanctuary here in the here in Berkeley.
Okay. Well, the East Bay Sanctuary was found in 1982. That's the time when the sanctuary movement started in the U.S. It was basically the time when, you know, the war in Guatemala, El Salvador, and Nicaragua were taking place with our intervention, of course. And we had a mass influx of Central American refugees. And at that time, the U.S. did not have asylum well regulated. And at that time, it was illegal to assist, refugees that had entered undocumented. And there was a community here in Berkeley of five churches convened that, because it was morally wrong that we were the cause that these people had to leave their countries, that as U.S. citizens, they felt the responsibility and the obligation, the moral obligation to help them. And so this initial community of five congregations were risking imprisonment by helping undocumented immigrants. And it's called harboring, right? And so that's the history of the sanctuary and the sanctuary movement. And so they've been doing this for 40 years. We offer legal services, although very limited cases, because we are a very small organization. We've grown recently, but it was, you know, a very small organization. And we do asylum cases and a few other types of immigration cases. And with the years, we've added wraparound social services, and my section is community organizing and advocacy. And so we mobilize people, you know, to see congressional representatives, to demand changes in policy. That's what we do. And we also educate the community with regards to their rights to, you know, how to go about, you know, being undocumented in this country is not easy, and so we are there to support them as best we can.
Marisa, we all are aware of the upcoming inauguration within 2 weeks. What are you doing through East Bay Sanctuary to prepare for that and to support so many people that will be affected by this incoming administration?
Yes. Well, you know, one thing that I want to underline is that we as organizations, of course, we knew that we had to prepare just in case. So it was a worst case scenario. And we started preparing even before the election. But also, I think it's notable that a lot of individual citizens have reached out to us, and they always do when these things happen. It happened the first time around during the first Trump administration. People will call and say, what can I do? How can I help? You know, because they realize how unfair this whole situation is. So we've been horridly busy since the election. And with lots of requests of people saying, can you come and do a presentation? What can we do, you know? And one of them was the La Peña Cultural Center, the Friends of La Peña, which is a group of wonderful people that it's a pleasure to work with, really. They've been getting together for 50 years, They've been around longer even than the East Bay Sanctuary. And this cultural center was born during the Chile dictatorship, Pinochet's dictatorship. And so these people have maintained this relationship, and it's a wonderful team of people. And they invited us to a discussion to see what they could do. And they have formed a committee. It's the Friends of La Peña Immigration Committee. And we discussed what can we do to help. And so the first thing I told them, it's really important that every undocumented person we know, that they know their rights, right? In case there's an ICE raid, if they come to their house or if they come to their place of work or if they encounter them on the street, they need to know what to do. And the other thing is worst case scenario, if one member of the family or more were to be detained, what happens to their children, right? So it's really important that families have a family preparedness plan, to have a person they trust pick up the children and, all the legal complications of being detained by ICE. Now, I also must note that, California is one of the 13 states that are sanctuary states that have laws that protect undocumented immigrants to a certain extent. And in California, it's the Values Act, it's SB 54. And that act from 2000, I believe it's 2017 or 2019, now I'm not sure. But basically states that no local or state government official or resources can be used to collaborate with ICE. So basically anything that ICE does in California will get no collaboration from, official institutions. But of course there are loopholes and we're trying to close those. And that's a different subject from what, we're doing with La Peña. But that's an example of how citizens have gotten involved.
Thank you for that information. We should also note that there was a recent case that was won where East Bay Sanctuary volunteered as a plaintiff and against Trump's first administration. And that Berkeley has a long history as a sanctuary city, and that EBSC has always been an integral part of that.
Yes, it's something we need to be proud of because actually Berkeley was the first city in the country to be to declare itself a sanctuary. And actually it was not related to immigrants, but to sailors, who did not want to go to Vietnam in 1971. And the city considered that they could be protected. And so that's how it started. But with the years and the circumstances changing, Berkeley has always been on top of what's, morally right and fair. And so they've been modifying their sanctuary resolutions to contemplate the situation, right? So it's been modified like four or five times, the resolution, I believe. And right now, we're putting the final details on it, but basically January 21st, the day after the inauguration, Berkeley will be having a press conference to notify the nation and the rest of the state that we are reaffirming our sanctuary status. We've been working with three council members and the mayor, and we as a community-based organization have been listened to. We've been representing the community, the immigrant community, and they've been most collaborative and very respectful of our demands. So we're extremely happy, and this is going to be happening January 21st from 6 to 7, I believe. I know it starts at 6. I don't know if it goes a little bit longer than that, but it's going to be the Berkeley Council meeting of the 21st. And so we will have supporters and, community members providing testimony and, just explaining how important it is that Berkeley does this because the ultimate goal is to, once we have this resolution reaffirmation of the resolution with more detail, we're going to start working on an ordinance, because the ordinance is enforceable. And that's our next goal right after this January 21st date.
And you mentioned the two events that will be held at La Peña Cultural Center on January 15th, and then a second event on January 19th. Can you share in detail about what are the goals of both of these events, and who should attend and participate?
Right. Actually, there's going to be three events, it just attests to how committed these people are, and I think it's wonderful what they're doing. We decided to do two events, one to train the ambassadors, right? So citizens who want to help. They're going to become, you know, like immigrant rights ambassadors, and they're going to learn this information to be able to spread it out in the community as much as possible. And so that is going to be January 12th at La Peña Cultural Center from 1:30 to 5. And we will be teaching people about, you know, how to train. I will be training people how to teach others, educate others about their rights, what to do when encountering ICE, you know, how do they usually operate, so that people are ready and they know what to do and what not to do. So it's a very specific list of do's and don'ts. And then we decided to do a week after, January 19th, the actual workshop for undocumented immigrants, or even documented immigrants, because everyone that doesn't have a permanent status is liable of being deported. So even people who have DACA, who have TPS, which is the temporary status, protection status, that people from Honduras, El Salvador, many different countries have TPS right now, Guatemala and Haiti, for example. So even these people that have papers in order could be deported according to what they are planning to do. So we are trying to make sure that we do everything we can, that everybody's informed of how to protect themselves and how to, you know, how to act if anything were to happen. And also the Friends of La Peña Immigration Committee have organized a discussion on Wednesday, January 15th. And that's just going to be, you know, a discussion where people can ask questions, and we're going to talk about how it's all happening, what might happen, and what can we do. So it's going to be an open discussion. And we've done one before, was December 30th. So this will be the second one, and we're hoping to have a lot more people. So yes, those are, they're calling it the Immigrant Rights Week, because it's three events in one week. And so they're putting a big effort there, and I'm really, really happy to have met this very, very motivated and, you know, committed group of people.
Thank you for that information. And can you share, in terms of the support leading up to the January 21st event, for the Berkeley City Council meeting, for the resolution, are you encouraging outreach to City Council members to show up that evening?
Yes, definitely. We would like people to show up that evening. But if they can't show up, it's also important that they call and they express their opinion. If they're in favor of protecting, you know, families, because in the end, most of us have had contact with undocumented immigrants. We know they're very hardworking people. Of course, there will be, you know, a criminal factor here and there. Like in our own groups, there are criminal factors. But most immigrant, you know, coming here, all they want is to have to be able to make a living and have a peaceful life. And some of them have been here with a temporary status for 30 years. Imagine that instability. You know, they've been paying their taxes, but they get no Social Security when they retire. So it's a very unfair situation. And anybody who bothers to investigate a little, they will see how disenfranchised they are. So anything we can do to support them is really important. And yes, calling your council member is really the best thing you could do. Yeah.
We have been speaking with Marisa Elmor, a community organizer for the East Bay Sanctuary. Marisa, is there anything else that you wanted to add about this upcoming week that you mentioned?
Yes, I wanted to add that even though it's Friends of La Peña Committee, Immigrant Share Committee, that has organized all this, there are two other organizations that have been co-sponsoring these events and that are contributing a lot. One of them is the Cahila Community Synagogue, they've been very responsive and contributing a lot to this. And also Indivisible East Bay. They've also been supporting us in creating these events and, you know, anything that will happen afterwards, because of course, you know, our actions will not stop here. This is just starting. And the next 6 months, we need to do everything we can, because we're pretty sure that, you know, the new administration, they're going to try and shock and awe and do some very visible actions at the beginning. And so we just need to stop the blows the best we can, because everybody knows that, you know, there's no way they want or can deport all 11 million undocumented people we have in this country. They're very necessary. They put food on our table. Without farmers, you know, like people working on farms, you know, they're basically, all of them are undocumented, and you know, all sorts of essential jobs that they do. So we know that, you know, the threat is empty, that they are going to deport everyone. We know that they're going to do some ICE raids just to scare people. Basically, that's their goal, right? To instill fear. And what we're trying to do, on the other hand, is to tell people, don't be afraid, just be prepared. And actually, you know, the communities themselves are organizing themselves and creating, you know, rapid response networks to help each other. And they're getting mobilized, and they're organizing protests in San Jose and many different places. So one side is the organizations that we're here to support, but the communities of undocumented immigrants themselves, they're also doing a lot. So I just want to make sure that, you know, people know that they're not cowering and hiding this time. They're fed up with the way they're being treated, and things have changed this time around. So they're going to be making some noise, yeah.
Thank you, Marisa. And you mentioned with the upcoming amendment and ratification of the Berkeley Sanctuary City Resolution during the next Berkeley City Council meeting on January 21st, after the inauguration, you're encouraging for local residents of the city of Berkeley to show up and support. What other ways can people support in terms of the organizing and coordination that will be taking place?
Well, in general, contacting your representatives is really important, because that's the work that needs to be done. That, you know, we've been for 2 years now, we've been really fighting hard with a coalition. It's called the Northern California Coalition for a Just Immigration Reform. And it's a coalition of around 30 organizations, you know, community-based organizations. And we've been organizing to push for the passing of H.R. 1511, which is a law that has existed since 1929. And it was ratified, and you know, it was the law that permitted the amnesty during the Reagan administration. We had both chambers, and we were able to pass that. Unfortunately, I have to say that, you know, it's always Democrats who support these type of measures. We're hoping we don't give up on having Republican representatives support us, but in general, these are pushed for by Democrat representatives. And we have right now 86 of them supporting this measure. It passed Congress, then they're, well, it hasn't passed in Congress yet. No, sorry. I'm thinking of a California law here. Senator Alex Padilla already introduced it in the Senate. It's SB 2606. And so, you know, people contacting the representatives does help, because it's not a marginal, if everybody agrees that it's not a marginal problem that undocumented people have, it's a problem that we all have. These are people that are an intrinsic part of our community that has enriched our culture and our community. And they're part of our communities. And we need to fight for them like we would fight for ourselves.
Thank you so much, Marisa. Again, we have been speaking with Marisa Amor, a community organizer for the East Bay Sanctuary this morning. We are really grateful for all of this information and for you joining us. And we look forward to seeing a great turnout at these upcoming events at La Peña and on January 21st.
Yes. And if anybody has questions, you can look at the La Peña Cultural Center website or the East Bay Sanctuary or Cahila Community Synagogue and Indivisible East Bay. We will all have information on it. We will have a flyer available on our website for all the details and the registration form. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Marisa.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. You can find more information about topics and guests in this episode's show notes. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA. That's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis, that's D-I-S, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to holler at us about something you heard or send us a show idea at lawanddisorder@kpfa.org. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listener. And if you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.